Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction and wisdom, justice and judgment, equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now let's go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and reading from verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profiteth a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. But the earth abideth forever. The sun also arises, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually. The wind returneth again, according to a circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. For the sake of time, let's look down a little further, verse 12. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under the heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Chapter 2, verse 1. I said in mine heart, go to now, and I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. And I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. And I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. Look down to verse 9. So I was great and increased more than all they that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. Verse 12, and I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly, and so on. Then go down to verse 16, for there is no remembrance of the wise more than the fool forever, seeing that which now is the days to come shall all be forgotten, And how dieth the wise man? As a fool. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Verse 18. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto a man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Down to verse 22. For what hath the man of all his labor, all the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? Now let's go over to the next chapter for a moment. Chapter 3, verse 18. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above the beasts. For all is vanity, and all go to one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who know the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Now, one more portion over in the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. First of all, verse 9 in chapter 11. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, but the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I had no pleasure in them. I have read quite a bit tonight. I recognize that. But as I often say, anything I can say about it can't compare with the Word of God itself. And what I would like to bring to your attention tonight is the words of the wisest man that ever lived. The words of the King of Israel. The words that he has summed up with his life and life of others. What he is talking about, first of all, he's saying that the heart is never full, the eyes are never full, and a person is never satisfied no matter what they get. And yet isn't it true that most people are trying to satisfy a three-cornered heart with a round world? It won't fit. What he's trying to bring before us here simply is this. Everything that a man can do or hope to do, it's all vanity. What he's trying to show then is that what God has brought before us and what God has for us, and God has a great future for everyone that will believe him. And God has riches and wealth, and he has that which is beyond telling altogether for any person that will trust him. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, we read, we have an inheritance that's undefiled, that fadeth not away. I'm not a millionaire, although sometimes people thought I was. I'm a long way from it. But on the other hand, as far as spiritually speaking is concerned, I'm a billionaire. Why? Because there's an inheritance that's undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for those that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we grovel around like as if we were paupers. I want to tell you, God is not poor, and God will look after his people. But what we have brought before us here, first of all, he starts out this way. I looked in, I was going to have wisdom. And God gave him wisdom. More wisdom than anybody that's in the world today, or that was in the world before him. He was the wisest man that ever lived. He was a king of one of the great reigns of the past. He was a king's son to start with. He came into a great fortune from his father. He built the greatest house that ever has been built. The gold alone in that house that he built was over $7 billion in our money. And there was silver, there was precious stones, there was everything that would speak of wealth in this house that he built it for the Lord. This is the man that's speaking here. He's no dummy. He's no fool. He's a man that is wisest in all the earth. God gave him the wisdom. He says, I went in for that. I sought it out. I wanted it. And God gave it to him. And then he comes to the end of it and he says, all vanity and vexation of spirit. Then he said, I'll try something else. I'll try pleasure. And in chapter, verse 2, he's going in for pleasure now. Seems to me that's one of the things that people look at in the world today, especially a young person, and they're waiting just to have the pleasures of this poor, godless world. Now, I told you before I could say when I was 9, so I wasn't allowed into, before I was 9, I wasn't allowed into the pleasures of sin. I couldn't even go to a Christmas cross concert. When I got saved, then, being a Christian, I don't need to go in for the pleasures of sin, and I'm so thankful tonight that I didn't. For if I had got out into the world, knowing the condition of this heart of mine, and knowing the kind of a wildness about my nature, God only knows where I'd be tonight. I'm so glad that God saved me when I was in my youth. Pleasure? This poor godless world tonight is pleasure mad. It's going in for it in every hand and trying it to its very dregs. And they're bringing this stuff up from down below there, as you know what I'm talking about. And people are trying to get a little bit of pleasure out of whatever they can. Here's a man, and he says, I'm going in for pleasure. And he could have it. More than anybody or all of us put together in this meeting tonight. No matter what that pleasure was that he could see. So he has wives, he has concubines, he has manservants, he has maidservants. He has whatever he wants. His heart is filled with pleasure. And just like so many that I've seen, he comes to the end of it all and he says, it's all vanity. So many times people have come to me and said, It's just, there's nothing to it. It's so empty. It doesn't fill the aching void. It doesn't do anything for me. Yeah, Lester Lewis, God bless his memory. One of the seal hunters. He was sitting there along with the other boys one day in the house where we were staying. I came in. He was so out of it. And he only had a couple of drinks, but he was so out of it that he was just sitting there, kind of didn't know where he was. Choking and coughing and going on. I thought he was going to... Anyway, the rest of the boys, there was about 12 of them sitting around him, and all they all had their drinks as well. But I just stood at the door. He looked up at me and said, don't look at me, McElwain. I said nothing, but one after another they went out. Finally, he kind of comes to and he said, where is everybody? I said, Lester, you're all alone. And you're going to be all alone for eternity unless you get God's salvation. His wife got saved the year before in the old tent. He started to cry like a child. Of course, she was under the influence. He said, would you please come up to our place this summer and put your tent in my lawn? He hardly had an old car. I mean, it was just a wreck. The tires were all bald. He was a poacher of lobsters. He would make maybe $2,000 or $3,000 in a night. And the next day it's gone. That's the way it happens. He would win for pleasure. He was trying his best to put away all the problems that he had by drinking it away. We went up that summer. 3 weeks later, after the meeting started, Lester said, "I got saved." You talk about a change. Just before he died, which was 10 years later, at the age of 55, he said, "Robert, I want to tell you something." He said, "When God saved me, I didn't even have a bathroom for my family. I had an old shack of a house." He said, "I owed everybody in the country. But," he says, "I got down on my knees and I told God, give me the strength." And he says, "I'll pay everybody back." And he says, "Just 6 months ago, I paid the last payment." His hands were all swelled out of shape almost from working in the salt, cold water at his work of fishing. But God bless him. I want to tell you something. What the world can't do in all its pleasure, God can. Just a few months later, he went home to meet his Lord. I said one night before, I think I told about him one night before, and you know, before that, before he got saved, he could hardly get a word out. He stuttered so bad. And I wish you could just hear him get up on his feet on the Sunday morning to give thanks to God for his son. Never missed a word. What the grace of God can do. Here's a man, and he's going in for everything. Now he's going in for pleasure. And he comes to the end. "It's all vanity," he says. "It's all vanity. There's nothing to it." Tries the wine. And there's nothing in that. All it does is leave the sting at the end of it all. Then he says, "I'm going in for possessions." So he says, "I'm going to build me..." He built houses, he built vineyards, he built gardens, and he got trees going, and he could have whatever he wanted. He had all these wives and concubines. He had everything that the heart could wish for. And he comes to the end of that and he says, "It's all vanity." Is there anybody in the meeting tonight and you've tried something? Maybe you've tried pleasure. Maybe you've tried religion even. Doesn't satisfy. Why? Because it's Christ that you need. As you've already been hearing, there's only one that can satisfy. His name is Jesus. The human heart can't be satisfied with the pleasures, the treasures, the things of this poor godless world, but I can tell you story after story. I'm not going to do it, but I can tell you people that have been satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to tell you more. I've never seen anybody yet that said they would rather have another Savior that really was saved. Why? Because he's a Savior that satisfies the longings of a poor, godless heart. Reminds me right now, I should tell you this. I was sitting reading, and Mr. Wrench and I were having meetings in a certain place, and we were staying in a little cabin down by the shore, belonged to somebody else. And I picked up this Reader's Digest, and I started reading The Life of Marilyn Monroe. She's the same age as I was. I started reading it. After I was done, I put it down and I said, "I'm going to write that lady." So I wrote her a letter. And in it, something like this is what I put. "I'm just a humble evangelist, going from place to place with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I appreciate reading your life story. I find that you've come from rags to riches. You've gone to the pinnacle. You've gone to the top. Now I want to ask you, have you found anything that fills the desires of the human heart? Are you satisfied?" Something like that. I don't know, maybe a little more refined than that. But anyway, I waited for an answer, but I didn't really expect one. But the next year I found it. I was downtown and I looked. There the paper, the morning paper, was in the rack. The headlines. Marilyn Monroe takes her own life. No, she didn't find the she didn't find the pleasure and the what the human heart craves for. Well, I know there's other stories about now. I don't know what the story is, but the poor girl's gone. The thing what I'm trying to get across here tonight is, no matter what you go in for, religion, pleasure, treasure, whatever, it's all vanity. Now he says, I'm gonna go a little further here. I'm gonna go in with folly. So he says, I began thinking to myself, what's the sense of me getting all this? What's the sense of me getting these vineyards? What's the sense of me getting all these houses? What's the sense of me getting all this wealth? Because I'm going out into eternity in a short time, and the person that follows after me, they're going to come into all this good. What are they going to do with it? How do I know whether they're going to be wise with it or foolish with it? What's the sense? He says the whole thing's vanity and vexation of spirit. He sums the whole thing up, and he says it's just vanity, the whole thing. The wisest man, the king of Israel, the man that could have whatever he wanted, and he could have more than he had, a man that has already been used of God in many ways, a man that has everything, and he says, the whole thing is vanity and vexation of spirit. Then he goes a little further with it. And he said, I'll go a little further with this folly. Really, what's the good of it? We all have one breath. We're no better than the beasts. They breathe, so do I. They die, so do I. In his folly, he looks at the whole thing, and he just says, puts over the whole thing, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I hope there's somebody in the meeting tonight, and you'll get to understand. Maybe there's some young person, and you're thinking to yourself the way I used to think in my silly little mind. When I get away from Mom, and when I get away from Dad's restraint, I'm going to have my fling in this world. I am so thankful I didn't get that. I want to come to the last. If you think it over carefully, what we've just been saying, and you recognize the fact that there's nothing that satisfies the human heart, no matter what you go in for. And I want to say more here as I go by. Listen, when my dad was 40 years old, I thought he was an old man. You know something? My life has just gone like that. It's like a vapor. As I look back over the 72 years, 73, but the thing is gone. And I see one generation after another coming along. And I see one generation coming behind me. And they get their education. And they get their vocation in life. And now they're at the end of it. And they are now retiring. My son told me the other day, he says, another 5 years. Well, it was only just a few days ago I was carrying around on my shoulder. Life is slender. And when you stop and consider, and young people, as me, I know you're looking into the future, and you look so far away. But oh, if you could just get to understand a little bit of how slender life really is, you would do what's the last thing I want you to look at here in this book of Ecclesiastes. Remember thou thy Creator in the days of thy youth. But I know the young person will say, yeah, I would like to be saved all right, and I would like to have Christ as my Redeemer, my Savior. I would like that. But just if I could have my sin first. Is remember now the Creator the days of thy youth. When the years come not that thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And this is what I've noticed. The young person comes along, they get their education, and there's nothing wrong with that. And then they get out on the road. And there's a few years passes. And they're going to live for whatever they can, as much as possible. And then what? They come to the end. And there's nowhere else to go. No Christ, no Savior. But the judgment of their sin is lying before them that must be accounted for. My friend in this meeting tonight, let me ask, will you stop and consider this little statement here from the wisest man that tried everything? Rejoice, O young man, in my youth, he says. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart, and the sight of thine heart and eyes. Young man left home, the old country. His mother was a Christian, and she prayed for him many a day. Now her teenager is leaving home to go to another country altogether. His duffel bag was packed. She said, I want you to take this with you, a little Easter, or a little Bible. She stuck it down in the bottom of the duffel bag. She says, please, will you read it? Will you read a chapter a day? Oh, yes, Mommy, said I did. He got to the place where he was going. I forget what land he went to. It was a faraway land. And, of course, he just threw the duffel bag in the corner and used the clothes he needed for the time being. Years went by. One day he dumped the whole thing out to see what was, and here's his little Bible. And he opened it up. And he began to read. Rejoice, O thou young man in thy youth. Oh man, he said, I didn't know that was in the Bible. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Oh, that's better. If I'd known that, I'd been eating this before. Walk in the ways of thy heart. In the sight of thine eyes. Man, he says, this is wonderful. But he read on. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Slammed it shut and threw it in the corner. He said, that's all you know. Therefore, I want to close with this. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. No, I didn't get into the pleasures of sin. I mean, I look at many a time I looked and said, boy, I'd like to have a big, long, I'd like to be able to tell about all that happened in that past. My story of conversion is very small. Needless by them. All I can tell you is, I found out I was a guilty sinner on the road to hell, and Christ died for me. That's all. No, I didn't get into pleasures of sin, and sometimes I used to say, I wonder what it would be like. The human heart is so deceitful. And I used to say, I wonder what it would be like. They see, they enjoy themselves. But let me ask you, have I missed anything? Am I missing anything? I've never had a dance in my life. I'm not saying that to be proud. I never took a drink in my life. I tried the blacksmith's pipe one time, but that made me sick. Tell me, did I lose anything by getting saved when I was young? You young people here tonight, stop and consider. Let me see it again. Rejoice, or remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. When the evil days come not, that thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Take the man that's 60, 70, and 80 years of age, and he's sitting in the rocking chair. He's retired, yes. He's not going to the dances. He's not going to the pleasures of sin. Why? Because those days are gone by. Let me say one more thing. If you're to live for 100 years, generally speaking, most people will sleep 8 hours a day. So that brings life down to 66 and a third, two-thirds year. And most people work 8 hours a day. That brings it down to 33 and a third years. I think those 33 and a half years, stop and consider how many hours, how many days, how many months, how many years is taken up with real honest pleasure. Now, when this takes place, then is eternity. It's not even a drop in the ocean. Is it worth it? Remember your Creator now. And get this matter settled that you're hearing about tonight. Your sins have to be gone into. And they can be settled here in this life. Through the royal, ruby, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on Calvary to put away sin. Shall we pray? Our God, our Father in heaven, in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we humbly bow before thee again, and we do thank thee for the privilege of this hour of gathering together thus in a gospel meeting. Our God, we, every one of us could have been gathered together in the depths of a burning hell. But we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ who went to Calvary's cross and bore away the curse of sin in his own body on the tree. And our God, we ask of thee that thou wilt speak to any in our meeting tonight that have never had this meeting with the Savior, that have never trusted him as their Savior, and grant thee we might have the joy of hearing of others trusting the Savior's sinners in his own worthy and precious name. Amen.